In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're back, live with more Rami Metcalf on 670 The Score.
You know, it's hit that point where I'm honestly sick of seeing our offense a little bit, to be honest. I know the rest of the defense feels the same way, but, you know, it's the grind. That's what it is. But I think take this good weekend here and reset for a second, and then here we go.
TJ Edwards saying he's ready to hit somebody wearing different colors. I'm Rami Metcalf in for Bernstein and Holmes here on this beautiful, beautiful Labor Day. Hope you're enjoying the holiday. Thank you for turning us on. If you're on your way to the cookout, chilling in the backyard with something already on the grill or in the smoker, cold drink in hand, we do appreciate you spending your Labor Day with us. They will take on the Titans this Sunday. We'll talk with Chase McCabe of 102.5 The Game in Nashville coming up at 11:40. But joining me now to keep the Bears talk going, he covers that team for It's the Bigs. He's also the host of the Herb and Two podcast. My pleasure to welcome in Herb Howard. Herb, how are you this Labor Day, my man?
All good, Rami. How you doing, man?
Good. Are you, as I was saying before the break, like I'm so excited about football, it's kind of made me a bad person to a degree. Are you in the same place?
I think we all get there about this time of year. We stop caring about things we should care about. We don't want to see people that we should want to see.
Yes.
We don't want to spend time doing things we should do. It's like, it's football. Just leave me alone. It's football.
Yeah, exactly. I told my girlfriend, like, block out Sundays for the next 6 months. It's over.
Yeah.
whatever you got going on, it's over. Exactly. Exactly. Now, I said this to my guest in the first hour, Herb, that where the Bears are right now and what we've been put through here the last few years, I find myself kind of having to check myself and being like, is that realistic? Is that something that they can really do? Whether I'm talking about Caleb Williams and his performance in his rookie season or how many games this team can win, do you find yourself doing the same thing where you're like, maybe I'm getting a little carried away?
Yeah, it's PTSD, right? I mean, that's what it is.
Yes.
We look at the roster, we look at the upgrades, all the moves Ryan Poles and this staff have made, the culture that Coach Eberflus and this staff have implemented, and you think this should be a good football team. They should win games. They should win X amount of games. They should go to the playoffs. But we've just been conditioned to kind of expect to be disappointed, expect to be let down. And so that's where you get that trepidation that comes in, like, can they really win 11 games? Is that really a thing? Can they really? And so you start to doubt what you see. But I think, you know, the more and more they kind of go along, and we'll certainly find out on Sunday and as they move forward, but the more and more they go along, you know, throughout this offseason, you kind of start to believe what you're seeing. And so I think that's as reasonable as the doubt is.
Talking with Herb Howard from It's the Bigs and the Herb and Two podcast here on 670 The Score, Rami Metcalf in for Bernstein and Holmes. You mentioned Eberflus and the culture that he's built. And I do, especially with sort of the inside look at Eberflus on Hard Knocks, he's won me over a little bit in terms of his personality, his leadership style, the way that the relationships that he's sort of developed with his staff and his team. But I've been saying he just needs to be a better coach on Sundays. You know, we love to talk about Justin Fields' numbers in the fourth quarter last year, and justifiably so. he wasn't very good, but there were plenty of times where Matt Eberflus was lacking or left a lot to be desired with his fourth quarter decisions. Is that in the back of your mind, is maybe he's not the guy, and maybe that could be the one thing that kind of throws a wrench into this season?
Yeah, I think, you know, he can be likable, and he is. And I think, you know, allowing people to get a peek of who he actually is has been really, really cool, not only on Hard Knocks, but just his overall persona, you know, more recently than it has been before. You can kind of get to understand who the man is, and I think that's been cool. But that doesn't really help you much on Sundays, other than the culture and all that. You still got to make, you know, game-winning decisions. You got to be able to adjust on the fly. You got to be able to make, you know, the proper decision when the time calls for it. And so that is still something that's reasonable to question. I think that you look at this entire operation from top to bottom. You talk about putting, you know, Kevin Warren in place. You talk about the things that Ryan Poles has done. You look at the roster itself. There's a lot to like. If you're going to be honest, I think the biggest remaining question, I think, is Matt Eberflus a good head coach? Like, I think so, right? I'm starting to believe that, but that is what remains to be seen. I think at this point, you can say with a level of confidence that Ryan Poles is good at his job. You can say with a level of confidence that Kevin Warren is good at his job. You can see the small things that have been changed since he's been there. You can say those things about those guys. You can look at his roster and say, I think these are good football players. You can't necessarily say it with the same degree of confidence about Matt Eberflus. You can think it, right? You can hope it, but I don't think you can say that with the same level of certainty. And I think that remains to be seen. And so I think this big year, I think he has a great opportunity to go ahead and prove that he is a good head coach. But that is the one thing that we can't absolutely be sure about just yet.
You know, and let's say it's a season that doesn't live up to expectations when we're looking at the win-loss column at the end of the season, Herb. How much, and it could look a lot of different ways, but how much leeway do you think Flus will get if it falls short of expectations? Because people will point to it and go, he's got the rookie quarterback. We got to give this whole thing time to develop and grow.
Yeah, I think only Ryan Poles would really know the answer to that. I look at this team and I say, this is a good team. They should be able to win games. This should be a playoff team, in my opinion. I think they should win 10 or 11 games. I know they got a pretty favorable schedule in their first nine, and then they got a pretty tough schedule in the back eight. But if they can stack some wins early, they should position themselves well. So even if they go 4-4 on the back end, they should still be able to get to 10 wins. And so, you know, with that expectation, you got to have some accountability to the head coach and say, well, why didn't this thing go right? Was Caleb not who we thought he was? Did you not develop him the proper way? Did you not make the right decisions in the game? Why didn't this thing reach its full potential? And then you have to hold somebody accountable for that. Now, only Ryan Poles will know if that means, you know, he's on the hot seat. If they don't make the playoffs, he's going to be out of here. I don't know exactly what that is. I don't want to speak out of turn on that. But I think there should be a level of pressure and some accountability if this team doesn't reach its potential, because I think on paper, they should be pretty good.
I've set the bar at 9 games, Herb, and like I said, that can take on a lot of different forms, and something less than 9 games can take on a lot of different forms, and I might look at it at the end and go, injuries, or whatever the case might be, you know what I mean? Sure. But where are you setting the bar for, you know, a relatively healthy roster for the Chicago Bears for this season, where you go, okay, I think Flus did a good enough job?
Yeah, I think they should win 10 games, right? I mean, I think 9 is a good bar, because I think anything less than that is like, yeah, I really missed the mark. But I think they can win 10 games. I think they can go 6-3 in those first 9 games, and I think they can go, you know, 4-4 on the back half at least. And so then that gets you to 10 games, and you're in that playoff conversation. And, you know, each NFL season is a story unto itself, kind of writes itself. And so you never know with injuries or how other teams are going to go and, you know, how that's actually going to shake out in terms of what record gets you in and what record keeps you out. You know, some years you might get in with a lesser record. Some years you might not get in with a better record. But I think they should be able to win 10 games. And so for me, that's kind of where I'm looking at. Can they get to that 10-win mark to say, okay, they had a really good season? If they just miss out, they just miss out. But I think that's the mark that they should be able to hit, just kind of looking at their schedule, looking at the talent on their roster, thinking that you're in year 3 of implementing your program, this defense. A lot of these players have been in this defense the entire time. You know, you got some good additions that you've added. So I think they should be able to get to 10 wins, especially looking at, you know, those first nine games.
We're going to get to some Caleb Williams talk in a minute here, obviously, because we're talking Bears and we're on the score, Herb. But I've been saying going into this season that I'm in the same ballpark as you. 9-10 wins is where I'm sort of setting the bar for this football team. But I don't expect Caleb Williams to do it all, because this is a roster that I think Ryan Poles has built to win in the rookie window of whoever his next quarterback was going to be. It turned out to be Caleb Williams. When you look at this roster, veterans are the core of the defense. When you look at even the offense around Caleb Williams, veterans are the core. We talked about Matt Eberflus a minute ago, and it's time for him to show that he can be a big-time NFL head coach on a week-to-week basis. I'm looking at this team to sort of carry Caleb Williams, especially in the first half of the schedule, while he's going through the growing pains and sort of finding his sea legs at the NFL level.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think it would be malpractice for the Bears to kind of put this entire thing on his shoulders super early. Now, may he be capable of doing that? He'll probably grow into being able to do that. But early on, you look at this defense, you say, hey, that's the strength of our team. So I think you start to lean that way. You start to make your decisions that way. And that's those type of things you'll be looking for in the game. When they're between the 40s and it's a fourth down situation, what does Matt Eberflus do? Does he say, hey, let me put this on the offense? Or does he say, hey, yep, I got this really talented punter. Let me put these guys inside the 10 and they can go 90 on our defense to flip the field. We'll get the ball back. We'll probably be somewhere near the minus 40 again soon. So, like, what type of decision does he make? Does he lean on his defense? Or does he say, hey, let me see if this kid can get it done for us? I think early on, it would behoove him to say, let me put this on my defense. Now, later on, the more Caleb shows you that he's capable and he's ready, if you want to put the game on his shoulders, you get later into the season, you start to get into those division games, and he's shown himself capable, then fine. But you got to stack some wins early, and I think the most efficient way for him to do that is to lean on that defense, make them go the long, hard road. I don't think many teams will be able to go 90 yards on this defense consistently, and I think that Tory Taylor is a weapon that they should utilize.
You know, I was about to ask you a question about the defense, but are we getting carried away when we're even, like, excited about the punter and impressed with the punter? I was talking earlier in the interview about us getting carried away with this football team. But, man, I watched that guy kick the football, and I go, ooh, that's...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
That looks good right there. Are we getting excited by punts now? Is that what we've come to as Bears fans?
Man, Rami, look, like, I know it's a punter, but I've been out here all summer watching this kid drop the ball inside the 10, bounce it out of bounds at the 1, hang it up in the air so that the gunners can get down there and literally catch the ball on the fly at the 1-yard line. He has some tools in his bag that most punters do not have. I know he's a rookie and I know he's a punter, but he is a weapon for this team and they should use him, right? So you don't have to Now, kind of put yourself in bad. Like, if the defense is the strength, why put them in a bad position? Yes. Why leave them with a short field, with their backs against the wall? Like, don't do that to them. Put them in a positive position. Make teams go 90 yards on them. You've got a guy who will consistently put the ball inside the 10-yard line. I'm not talking about inside the 20. He's putting it inside the 10. He's putting it inside the 5. He's kicking it out of bounds at the 1-yard line. You're seeing this every single day with consistency. He can do it. And so use him. Use him. I mean, he went up there to Buffalo and he talked about how, you know, windy it was. And it was the windiest game that he had been in. He's ready to kick in the conditions at Soldier Field. He's prepared for it. He can do it. Use him. Like, he's really a weapon. He really is.
And I think Bears fans know, like, what special teams and field position, how much of a difference that can make from the Lovie Smith era. When you're giving your team a short field and giving the other team a long field. Now, then it was Devin Hester doing a lot of the positioning and getting them in a favorable field position. But you can do the same thing with a punter or a kicker when you have to give the ball to the other team. So I don't think we're overstating it. How good can that – what's the ceiling – for that defense, Herb? I know a lot of people are putting top five on them as sort of a goal or a bar to clear. Do you think that's something that this Bears defense can do this year?
I think they may have the best back seven in the league, certainly as good as any other. To be a top five defense, you have to be able to consistently disrupt the passer. You have to have a consistent pass rush. We only know for sure that the Bears have one consistent pass rusher that can continuously get in the backfield. For the Bears to be a top five defense, Jervon Dexter has to answer all questions about him affirmatively. He's got to be an absolute difference maker in the middle of that defense at that three tech, which Matt Eberflus has repeatedly called the engine of his defense. Mm-hmm. And then you got to get some production on the opposite end from Montez Sweat. Whether that's, you know, everybody talks about who else is going to be. I don't know why the conversation doesn't start with DeMarcus Walker. Like, he's the guy you paid to come over here and do that. And it's cool that he has the flexibility and versatility to kick inside, right, on third down. That's wonderful. But can you rush from that opposite end? That's what we need you to do. And so I look at him first, and then you can start talking about, you know, Darrell Taylor. You can start talking about Booker. Like, all that's cool. But whoever it's going to be, they have to be able to get some consistent pressure from the opposite side of Montez Sweat. You're going to be consistently having one-on-ones. You got to take advantage of that. But you need Jervon Dexter and that opposite end to be productive. If those two questions are answered positively, they could be a top-five defense. If they're not, if Jervon Dexter is not a consistent disruptor, right, he doesn't play with the motor and the leverage and the pad level that allows him to be dominant. Because when he does those things, when he gets off the ball and he plays with proper pad level, he is absolutely dominant. No single man seems to be able to block him. He's that big. He's that athletic. But he doesn't do it all the time. If he can do that consistently and you can get the production from that other end, then, yes, this can be a top-five defense. If you don't get that production from those two positions, they can't make it to the top five just as they are. They'll still be good. They'll still be good. But you're talking about being able to disrupt the quarterback and create those turnovers and allow that back seven to be as athletic and as disruptive as they can be. You need to consistently disrupt the quarterback.
Talking with Herb Howard, Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs, host of the Herb and Two podcast, for just a couple more minutes here. Rami Makhlouf in for Bernstein and Holmes. All right, let's get to that guy, the guy that we're pinning all our hopes on, even though we just said we're not. Let's get to the guy that we're pinning all our hopes on, Herb. Am I crazy in saying, I made a statement last week here on the air that, and we just talked about it, I don't expect Caleb Williams to be Superman on day one, but I said by the end of the season, as the season goes on, and I compared it to Jordan Love, who in his first year as a starter went from a guy with a lot of questions surrounding him in week one to a guy that, you know, most people would take on their team if they needed to win a football game on any given day by week 17. Is it crazy to think that by the end of the year, if I asked you, you need one quarterback from the NFC North to win you a football game today, that the answer would be Caleb Williams? Not that his numbers will be better than the rest of the guys in the division, but if I ask you that question, you need somebody to win you a game today from this division, could the answer be Caleb Williams?
That's tough, Rami. I think it could be. I think ultimately that will be the case. I think he ultimately will ascend to become the best quarterback in his division and one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But if you just ask me that by week 17, week 18, if I got to get one game, I still may want a more proven guy. Like, it just depends too, though, right? He may get to that level where you're like, no, absolutely, he's better than Jared Goff and he's better than Jordan Love and whatever's going on in Minnesota. Like, that may be true. It's tough for me to say that right now. What I will say about him is that he's answered every single question that you have about him, and he's checked all those boxes, right? You, everything you heard about him, you can see it. The ability to have poise in the pocket, the ability to get outside the pocket and throw with accuracy on the move. He's got all the arm talent. He can throw from all the different arm angles and different slots. He can do all those things. He appears to be a really good teammate and a good leader. He wants to be great. He works at it. So all those things, he's checked all of those boxes. If I had to bet on him, I would say, yeah, he's going to be that guy. It's just hard to say that, you know, right now. But everything you've seen from him, man, I think the Bears have their quarterback answered finally, right? We waited literally forever, and I think finally, you know, they can rest comfortably and say, I think we got our guy for 10, 15 years.
That's Herb Howard, Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs, host of the Herb and Two podcast. Follow him on Twitter for all things Bears at HerbHoward411. Herb, really appreciate it, man. You and the guys keep up the great work over there at It's the Bigs.
Absolute pleasure, Rami. Thanks, man.
Appreciate you. And he joins me on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Okay, maybe I should pump the brakes a little bit. Nah, I'm not going to do that. Caleb Williams is going to be MVP of the season. All right, book it. Go to your local, go to Circa Sports Illinois and put the money down. Caleb Williams, MVP. Now, you can't blame me if you lose that money. I am not liable. This is for entertainment purposes only. But go and put that bet down. Why not? Matt Spiegel and the Afternoon Show will be live from Rally House in Wrigleyville this Thursday afternoon, September 5th, from 2 until 6. Stop by to enter for the chance to win prizes and shop the best team gear selection in Chicago. Join Spiegs and 670 The Score at Rally House in Wrigleyville this Thursday from 2 to 6 p.m. or shop 10 Chicago area Rally House locations and online at rallyhouse.com. No, but seriously, we gotta pump the brakes on just exactly what we expect Caleb Williams to do for this organization. Some people getting carried away, and I'll read some of those people's comments right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf in for Bernstein and Holmes, and back in a minute right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I want him to lean on the talent around him. And then when the time is right, and that's an instinctual thing, and I think that plays right into him, that's when you do the special. And balancing that. And then sometimes it's going to get out of whack one way or the other, but always come back to that. It's kind of like that neutral place where he's at his best. And I think he has that just from studying him and watching years of tape on him. He has that ability.
That's Bears General Manager Ryan Poles talking about his expectations for Caleb Williams this season. I'm Rami Makhlouf in for Bernstein and Holmes this midday. Thank you for spending your midday with us on a Labor Day. We'll talk with Chase McCabe. He's the host of Chase and Big Joe down in Nashville. Get a little preview of Bears and Titans this weekend when he joins me at 11:40. And back to some Cubs talk with Andy Martinez. He covers the Cubs for the Marquee Sports Network, and he'll be here right around noon. Some texts that have come in from you. This one from the 815. I think they heard my question about Matt Eberflus and my questioning of Matt Eberflus last segment with Herb Howard. And he says, in all caps, what makes a good or great coach? Good to great players, period.
I feel like I heard him.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, good coaches, yeah, you need good players to win. There's no doubt about that. But when it comes to Matt Eberflus, I found myself looking at that football team last year when they had lost 14 straight dating back to the previous season. We went almost a full calendar year without seeing our football team win a game, all right? And I was looking at that. And by the way, they gave up with their defensive-minded head coach, gave up 25 points or more in all 14 of those losses. And I was looking at that and going, I know it's not supposed to look good. I understand what they're doing right now. But I also don't think it's supposed to look this bad. I don't think it's ever supposed to look this bad. And that was the realization the White Sox had to come to when they fired Pedro Grifol. When they were like, yeah, we're not trying to win, but
We're not trying to lose this much.
That shouldn't look like this.
That's crazy. We can't lose this much. And I was looking at Eberflus and thinking the same thing. And even with the turnaround in the second half, I wanted to change at head coach less because of what I just said about Eberflus, because he earned some points back with me with the way they turned things around in the second half. But I was more looking at it and going, let's just get a fresh start. Let's just hit reset on everything and get an offensive head coach in here with Caleb Williams and attach them at the hip and let's go. But they didn't, and that's okay. I'm willing to give Eberflus a chance. But if you don't have questions about that dude after the first 2 years, and especially after what I just said, losing 14 straight games, like, God bless, man. I admire your optimism and your belief in that head coach. I really do. But I just got questions. That's all. That's all I got. This one from the 815. I'm expecting at least 10 wins this year and at least one playoff win. That's a high bar. And this one, I think everyone is underestimating the Bears this year. They should have beaten the Lions both times they played them last year. That was with an average quarterback. Yeah, I don't play the whole should have thing. Like when people go, yeah, they only won four games, but they lost six by one score or less. Yeah, that's a 4-13 record. That's what that results in. Like,
that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like the NFL, there is a lot separating the top from the most games are within one or two scores. Unless you're the Bears losing 14 games in a row and giving up 25 or more points in every one of those losses. But more times than not, like most of the losses are within one or two scores. So I don't play the whole should have. You are what your record says you are
right
at the end of the year.
We haven't seen a dynasty since the Patriots. The Chiefs are getting close here, I guess. But like there's a lot more parity in the NFL now more than ever. But just historically,
yeah.
You know, it's always going to be up and down.
Go look at an NFL scoreboard any given week. There are very few blowouts. Like even when really good teams play really bad teams, they're usually within one or two scores. So I don't play that whole should have and they could have had this record if they did this. No, man, they won seven games last year, which is it's progress. They moved forward, but still not good enough. I need to see 9 or 10 for me to be sold on Matt Eberflus. Let's go out to the south side and Tracy, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, Tracy? Tracy?
There was a person there at one point.
I thought Tracy had like production elements to their call. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, just a really good call.
What's going on there?
No,
all right.
I think she put us on the wait hold.
Okay. All right. Tracy has her own hold music. That's pretty cool. I wanted to bring up something that I read at CBSSports.com, and it was a really quick, like, this might just be a throwaway thing. Like, These websites, they have to pump out the content. You know what I mean? And sometimes there isn't a whole lot of thought put into it. And I don't say that to be insulting or demeaning. They're just doing what they're doing. You know what I mean? They got to get the content out there. There's a certain amount of ads that they got to put out on their website, blah, 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 blah. So I don't know if that's what this was. And if I put too much weight or stock into this quick write-up on the Chicago Bears, but it was just... Here's the article was what would constitute success for all 32 NFL teams. And when it came to the Bears, they said the Caleb Williams show justifying Chicago's roster overhaul. It's been a long time coming for general manager Ryan Poles, who mostly let Justin Fields sink before doing everything in his power to accommodate Williams' star-studded arrival. The lineup looks good. Let's see if they can stack wins. Which, again, that seems like kind of just a throwaway paragraph, not a great deal of thought or time put into that. But that first sentence, Caleb Williams justifying Chicago's roster overhaul, somewhere down the road, like it is going to fall on Caleb Williams, you know, especially if he ends up being the franchise quarterback we all hope he can be. 3 years from now, you're going to have to pay that dude and you're going to have to make some tough decisions elsewhere on the roster. That to me is when Caleb Williams starts to single-handedly justify what the road that the Bears, Ryan Poles specifically, chose to take in getting us here. But as far as this year goes, and again, I expect wins. I expect this to be a team that's in the playoff picture to some degree once everything shakes out. If anybody has anything to justify this year, And I'll say this again. We need to stop relitigating Williams versus Fields. We just need to stop. We're all the same team now. We're all on the Caleb Williams bandwagon. I don't want to go on Twitter every time that dude makes a ridiculous throw and see somebody going, "Yeah, you think Justin Fields could do that?" I don't care. All right. I do not care. I don't care if Justin Fields could do that. I don't care. Now, that being said, I was on the Fields side of when they had the town hall on the Parkinson speech. And I wasn't saying Fields better product, better prospect than Caleb Williams. I was saying Justin Fields and all these assets that you could get for that number one pick versus Caleb Williams without those assets. You know, like say you added a Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift to DJ Moore and Roma Dunze. You had Fields still here, traded for a few picks. You got an offensive lineman and a pass rusher with those. You know what I mean? Like that's a more well-rounded football team in my eyes. But if you have that dude at quarterback, if Caleb Williams proves to be that dude, you can cancel out the rest. And it was the right path to take. But I don't think we'll be able to say that for a couple of years down the road. If anybody has anything to justify this year by winning football games, it's Ryan Poles. That's who has to justify the road that he's taken these last few years. It's Ryan Poles because this is a roster that is designed and built to win now, I think, in his eyes. I think that's the goal for Ryan Poles. I don't think he's saying Super Bowl or bust this year, but I think this is when you start to put the gas pedal down a little bit and expect to make some real progress towards being a winning football team. You should be able to do that with Caleb Williams performing like a rookie. And that is how you will justify the decisions and the road that Ryan Poles decided to go down these last few years. It ain't on Caleb Williams to justify a damn thing. Caleb Williams needs to develop and grow and become the quarterback we all need him to be without putting all that weight on his shoulders. We'll get the view from Tennessee ahead of the Bears and Titans this weekend. Oh, man, that feels good to say. Bears and Titans this weekend. Sunday, baby. And Chase McCabe, host of the Chase and Big Joe show from 102.5 The Game. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, in for Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score right after this.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Spears takes over in the backfield as the single for Levis. And a ton of time for the quarterback and a wide open, wide out past the 50. It is taken in by Calvin Ridley.
It's coming from across the screen here, and he's matched up one-on-one with John Charles. You look at this action first, kind of holds the linebackers in, but once when you make a break and the defender falls in coverage, it creates a great deal of space in those zone coverages.
That heard on Fox. That's who the Bears will be facing this Sunday. Will Levis and those Tennessee Titans joining me to talk about that. He's the host of the Chase and Big Joe show on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan down there in Nashville. It's my pleasure to welcome in Chase McCabe. Chase, how are you this afternoon, man?
I am doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
I know we're on opposite sides of this thing, but it's just cool that like this is day one of week one of the NFL, Chase. We are 3 days away from football and 6 days away from watching our respective teams go out there and play for real. Like I'm ready to jump out the window here in the Score studios. I'm so fired up.
Oh, I am too. And it's funny, I was actually in your city about 3 weeks ago visiting Ryan Porth, my good friend, and it was the first preseason game for the Bears, and we're sitting in a bar. I've like never seen that much hype about a preseason game and Caleb Williams' debut. And I, of course, was the guy sitting there going like, okay, it was a couple of drives. Like he looked, whatever, he looked fine. I mean, like show me a real game. But I know I can only imagine what the hype train is like going in to the game on Sunday. And look, it's kind of that way here because it's a new era with the Titans as well.
I threw a mini parade. I threw a mini Caleb Williams parade just off that performance in his first preseason action. That's how fired up we are. As far as your team goes, Chase, big picture wise, where is this football team at? Because I don't look at the Titans and go, bad football team, but, and I didn't think I'd be saying this a few years ago, they're kind of in a tough division. Last year they had three winning teams in that division in Houston, Jacksonville, and Indianapolis. it's hard to make hay in a division when you got three teams like that that you're battling for six times a year. You talked about the expectations and the hype here in Chicago. Where are Tennessee Titans fans at with that organization, given the big picture of things?
I think the honest answer is we have no idea. I mean, that's what I say. I mean, I go on the air and I go, okay, I've liked what I've seen out of Levis, or I haven't liked what I've seen out of Levis. You know, this receiving group has obviously gotten a lot better. I like the offense that Brian Callahan's brought in from Cincinnati. I think that's going to be much improved over the Mike Vrabel era from last year. But at the end of the day, I've said this a lot. I have the same feeling about the Titans that I had about the Predators last year when they made a bunch of changes. And that is, I think they're going to be more fun to watch, but I have no idea how good they're going to be. And then they made the playoffs. Obviously different sports, but that's kind of my feeling with the Titans. I really don't know that I think it's going to be more enjoyable just because, not that there was, you know, I liked Mike Vrabel, but you've obviously gone from a defensive-minded coach to an offensive-minded coach, young second-year quarterback that he's trying to develop. He's brought in his dad as an offensive line guru, which the offensive line, I mean, was basically you and me last year. I mean, it was terrible. And I know the Bears have had their, you know, their woes at O-line, but I think the O-line's improved. How much? We'll see. They spent a lot of money on the secondary. They spent money at receiver. DeAndre Hopkins is out to prove himself. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to be excited about. But the true answer when you ask, okay, how are the Titans going to be, is I really don't know.
Yeah, my pass blocking leaves a lot to be desired. It's not good. Too. It's not good if you got me up front there. But you mentioned, you know, it's a new era with Mike Vrabel out. They had a very definite identity when he was the head coach, though. That was a team that was going to play some defense and run the football with Derrick Henry back there. Do you sense like a very different identity or fabric of this football team with the change and with Will Levis at quarterback and everything else that you just rattled off there?
I do, and I think for the first time in 25 years, this is going to be a team that doesn't rely on running the football. I mean, you look at the history of the Titans in Nashville as the Tennessee Titans. It was Eddie George, and then it was Chris Johnson, and then it was Derrick Henry. Obviously, you had some other guys there in the middle, but that was their bread and butter, was running the football, and now they're focused more on passing the football. They're in an updated NFL, and so I think that's what's going to be the fun part about it, is Brian Callahan wants to throw the football. He's got two running backs that are going to share the carries that, you know, are more dynamic than Derrick Henry. You knew what Derrick Henry was, and he was great, and he's probably a Hall of Famer, and Baltimore is lucky to have him. But I think what they're trying to do now is to be more of a modern-day NFL offense, and I think Levis is the one to do that, especially with all the pieces that they put around him. You know, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyler Boyd, I think, is going to be probably the sneakiest best signing of the year, just because, you know, he can play that slot. He can kind of play anywhere, but he can be that check down go to guy for Will Levis. Plus, you got the two running backs that can do the same thing. Tight end is still a little bit of a question for me, but we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening there. But I think it's going to be a much different offense and much more, you know, fun to watch in today's NFL.
Talking with Chase McCabe, host of the Chase and Big Joe Show down in Nashville on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan. You mentioned Will Levis there. He's obviously going into his second year. I don't think anybody is putting the hype or the expectations on a Will Levis that we are here on Caleb Williams in Chicago. But what's the vibe like with him? You know, with a lot of top quarterbacks, they'll get 3 years to show something. Do you feel like we're in year two of a three-year window for the Titans to sort of figure out if they have their next quarterback here?
Well, that's a really good question, because honestly, I think this is the year they got to figure it out. And the reason is, you know, this is not Brian Callahan's quarterback. This is the guy he you know, inherited when he came in. But I think he should get some time, especially because you can't fill every hole in the offseason, and the Titans had a lot of them. But, you know, I think they want to know by the end of this year if he's the guy or not. And, you know, if they get 7, 8, 9 wins somewhere in there, which is kind of where I have them, you know, whether they make the playoffs or not, or, when, you know, win the division, what have you, as long as they get to that, you know, plateau, I think you can sit here and go, all right, we got something with him. You know, that's somebody that they can build around. But and that's what they would be saying. But I think they need to know. They need to know pretty soon if he is the guy. Otherwise, you know, if they're picking in the top 10 again, they're probably looking at quarterback. I mean, that's just kind of how this league works. You guys have seen it there in Chicago. You know how this works.
Too much.
So so hopefully they can see enough to go, all right, let's keep building around Will Levis, and he's going to be our guy for years to come. But it's a very, very important season that starts. What's funny is, like, you look at the storyline for this game, you know, you guys are starting a new era with Caleb Williams. The Titans are starting a new era with Callahan and Levis. It's kind of a really big starting point for both teams, and both are looking for good performances.
That's big picture, and what path they decide to take in years moving forward, if Levis is the guy or not. As far as winning games this year and starting this Sunday against the Bears, is that the biggest question for this Titans team, is the quarterback position, or are there other areas on their roster where you go, I'm not sure they're up to snuff right there?
Yeah, it's the biggest question for sure, because it's the most important position. But no, I think, you know, are they spent a lot of money on cornerback, but they're still not very deep at corner. I mean, and, you know, if one of those guys gets hurt, what's that going to do to your secondary? You guys have someone that was a staple in the secondary here for many years in Kevin Byard. You know, they're going to miss that leadership. I mean, they're already missing his leadership. They're missing Derrick Henry's leadership. Jeffrey Simmons has had having to put a lot of that on his shoulders, and I think he needs some help with it. But the secondary is what I'm looking at. The defensive front, pass rush, they're not very deep there either. And so I think that's going to be a big question mark. And then on the offense, it's going to always come back to the offensive line. They have, you know, spent two first-round picks the last 2 years on the O-line with the guard and Peter Skoronski, and then J.C. Latham, the tackle out of Alabama, who played right tackle at Alabama, and they've shifted him to the left side, and nobody seems to be concerned about that with the Titans. So we'll see. The Lloyd Cushenberry was a big signing at center. But then the right side is, you know, leaves a little bit to be desired. I mean, they got a third-year player, Nicholas Petit-Frere, that's slated to play right tackle, and I think he's a third-year player, yeah, and Dylan Radens is going to play right guard, and I don't have a lot of trust in either one of them, but I'm hoping that Bill Callahan can work his magic and make them into something. And so I think that's going to be one of the biggest questions, is the offensive line. Can the offensive line keep Will Levis upright?
Talking with Chase McCabe, host of Chase and Big Joe on 102.5 The Game, 94.9 The Fan down there in Nashville. You talked about some of the veterans that they let walk or released this offseason in Derrick Henry and Kevin Byard. It reminded me of a few years ago when Ryan Poles came in and hired Matt Eberflus and sent some veterans packing, Khalil Mack and a couple other guys on that defensive side of the football. And we were all looking at it and going, oh, this is a tear down and rebuild. This is a long-term project that Ryan Poles is undertaking here. I don't get the sense that that's what's happening with the Titans right now. This is more of a, in my eyes, tell me if I'm wrong, this is more of a reset than a rebuild. Yeah. They don't plan on overhauling this roster entirely over the next 2 or 3 years, do they?
No, I think you're 100% right. It does, and it doesn't feel like a rebuild. It feels, even though there's been a ton of roster turnover, it feels like a reset because of how active they were in free agency, you know, acquiring players for positions of need. Then they go through the draft and do the same thing. And then, look, you've seen after cutdown days, they made a couple of trades to either add draft capital for the future or add roster players. I mean, you know, I think what they did in adding Ernest Jones at inside linebacker is going to be big for them because they were weak at that position, and I think they've upgraded it. You know, as long as the knees hold up, that should be an upgrade. So, no, I don't look at it as a rebuild at all. Rand Carthon, the general manager, doesn't want to look at it as a rebuild. He has used that word reset, you know, that we're here to win. And you mentioned the division earlier. Mm-hmm. I think this division was the laughingstock of the NFL for a while. It's gotten a lot better, but I think it's at the point where maybe Houston is who scares everybody because C.J. Stroud had such a great rookie year, and so everybody is going to pick Houston just like everybody was picking Jacksonville going into last year, and then Jacksonville kind of fell off. You know, I think you have to look at this division being maybe a little bit closer than it might appear on paper. Now, if C.J. Stroud is everything that everybody thinks he is in his sophomore year, then, yeah, they're probably going to win it and run away with it. But I've seen crazy things happen. There hasn't been a back-to-back winner. You know, the Titans have done it. And so I think this division could be very interesting, and the Titans could certainly be a player in it.
How do you see Sunday playing out? What do you feel good about? What concerns you? And what do you think we're looking at when all is said and done?
All right, so I was waiting for that question because this is where your listeners probably aren't going to like me very much. I do think the Titans come in and steal one.
Oh.
Because
all right, Chase,
so...
it's been nice. No, I'm just kidding,
Well, here's why. I think there's so much hype surrounding Caleb Williams and this new look Bears and everything. And look, I think he could play a great game, but I think he's a rookie playing his first game in the NFL. And I think that the Titans and Denard Wilson, their defensive coordinator, are going to try to exploit that. They're going to throw everything they got at him. And if they get inside his head early, then I do think the Titans can steal one. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Titans get the win. And of course, then you guys can have overreaction Monday of, oh, no, the sky is falling, and we can have overreaction Monday. Lombardi coming to Nashville. So you know how that goes, or vice versa. But I do think it'll be a close game.
Yeah, week one in the NFL is made for overreaction. I'm here for it, Chase McCabe. He's the host of the Chase and Big Joe Show on 102.5 The Game, 94.9 The Fan down in Nashville. If you want more on the Titans heading up to Sunday's game, follow him on Twitter at Chase on Game. Really appreciate the time and the insight, Chase. Have yourself a great Labor Day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me at any time.
He joins me on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Don't come on here and talk about the Bears losing, Chase McCabe. Get out of here with that nonsense. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, Andy Martinez, Cubs writer for the Marquee Sports Network, will join me as we switch gears and talk about a Cubs team that is relevant in September, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Rami Makhlouf in for Bernstein and Holmes right here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.